I'm here to teach me how to do it.
Teach you how to do it?
Teach me how to do it.
I can't.
So I'm going to send you a list.
Well, the thing is, I'll teach you how to do it.
Okay.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. You cannot know anything at all unless you start with God.
You say you know to be true that my argument is not valid.
Yes.
Tell me, sir, how you know that to be true.
Because through multiple years of experience, through everything that I have observed in life, and through what others have observed, and compiling this knowledge, and applying the scientific method, and applying the other streams of logic and all of it, I can bring this together and make a claim that what you're saying is not correct and valid in relation to all of this other evidence.
And I were to blast you in the face with my right hand,
right,
instantly your eyes would fill with tears, blood would pour, and it would be very real to you.
I was talking to a great friend of mine, and the first thing I said to him is the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. And we were talking about 6 hours about this apologetic, and the light finally went on, and the eyes went wide open, and he said, I get it. They can't know anything unless they start with God. I said, man, that's the first thing I told you. All right, now, what I'm talking about today is apologetics. That's a reason to defend the truth. That's what apologetics is. Now, why do you think unbelievers don't like evidence for the existence of God? Because they're unbelievers. That's right. Christians, we love the evidence for the existence of God. Why is that? Because we're Christians. That's right. And this is a question that I ask you because I'm sure most of you, all their lives, like myself, when an unbeliever came up to me and said, I really don't believe that God exists, I'd say, oh, really? Well, here's some evidence.
Personally, I think it's far more logical to draw conclusions based on the evidence. Let's not believe in the authority of the Bible merely because the Bible claims to be true. Let's look at modern cosmology, physics, biochemistry, and genetics, all of which point powerfully toward a supernatural creator who looks suspiciously like the God of the Bible.
Atheism or Christianity? That is for each of us to decide on the basis of the evidence, of course.
But we're going to show, through two scientific arguments and one philosophical argument, that there's a spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, moral, personal, intelligent creator out there, and we're not going to use the Bible to show you that evidence. We're just going to give you evidence and let you see where it leads.
Out in the world, where do you hear evidence most often? In court. Who do you give evidence to in court? The judge. The judge and the jury. So we go out in the street, in the campus, with some arrogant, snot-nosed kids like that, and they say, I don't believe in God. And what's the first thing we do? We give them evidence. And when we give them evidence, who are we saying is the judge?
Them.
And who is on trial? God. So we go out in the street and we say, you, sir, are the judge. The Lord of glory is on trial. What does Scripture say? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. And what are we doing? We're out there saying that God's on trial.
That's right.
And you know what the problem with that is? You can win that court case. Because God has given us wonderful evidences. Evidences are a wonderful gift from God for Christians to bolster our faith. You can win that court case. And you can acquit God. But what's the problem? Who's the judge?
Okay, so you believe in proof.
Yes.
Now, proof presupposes truth, logic, and knowledge, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now what is truth in your world?
Truth is what has been accepted and what has been tested.
Truth, so would you agree that truth is factual? Truth is whatever is real?
Yes.
So you have a correspondence theory of truth. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. Correct?
Yes.
How do you know what's real?
I know it's real by what is tested and
right.
What is accepted over and over and over again
Okay.
throughout time. and through scientific measures and through the scientific theory.
Okay, now in order to come to those truth claims, you're employing your reasoning, correct?
To an extent, but I'm also employing the reasonings of thousands of other
people. But in order to interpret what those thousands of other people say, you're employing your reasoning.
Yes.
Okay, so truth, you know through your reasons, right?
Along with.
All right, but the thing is, you have to reason about what other people say. My question to you, sir, is how do you know your reasoning is valid?
I don't.
That's right. So if you don't know your reasoning is valid, would it not follow that you can't know anything to be true?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the problem.
But is it the same for you? Do you not know anything to be true?
No, no, no. What I'm saying is you do know things to be true. To deny truth, to deny knowledge is a logical fallacy.
We know things to be true in our own realm, like you said, what is real.
Well, this is the question, sir. Could you be wrong about everything you claim to know?
Yes.
Okay, now here's the problem with that, because when you say you could be wrong about everything you claim to know, you've given up knowledge. And I'm going to explain that to you. Let's say I asked you how tall this building was. And you said it's 50 feet tall, but I could be wrong. Do you know it?
No.
Not if you could be wrong.
Correct.
So if you could be wrong about everything you claim to know, it follows that you know nothing.
Yeah.
Well, but the problem is you do know things.
No, I don't think so. The only thing I do know is that I know nothing.
You know that?
Yeah.
That's two. You know that you're at this university. You know that you're studying.
No. Okay.
This is Cy Ten Brueggenkate. He lives in Canada, goes around to universities and does this kind of stuff. And probably most of these kids are not going to get saved, but for the first time in their life, they're coming face to face with their own inconsistencies. That's what she said. When she said, the only thing I know is you can't know anything. And so, over and over and over again, as he goes through these interviews, and you can see it. And kind of later in the end, he talks about that when he goes back and looks at the videos and he's watching their eyes, and he sees their whole reality is crumbling, and it impresses him all the more that we have to take that extra step to be gracious. Because they may jump on the first ship to Hinduism or something like that. And so he does stress the fact that, you know, with reverence and respect is how we deal with these people. Because we're about to destroy their world. And they don't know what to do. And we're offering them a vastly superior alternative. And one of the things he talked about was them being the judge. He talked about the autonomous man, the man that doesn't need anything. And when we remain the judge and the jury, then we have not surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we were going to talk about that earlier, is that if Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And so surrendering our all to him is a massive step. And sometimes it takes a while.
It wasn't that just, I mean, that's the original temptation. I mean, when Eve saw that the fruit was good for eating, and, you know, because he said, because God knows when you eat it, you'll be like him.
Oh, my God.
I'm jumping ahead. There you go.
That's the sin of Eve. Thinking I can judge between what the devil's saying and what God's saying and come to a proper conclusion. We never can. It doesn't work that way. So, helping these kids. There's one, this 19-year-old kid is talking about all his vast experience and knowledge. What are you doing?
Sorry.
But it's, you know, we're 19 going on know-it-all, so at one point in our lives. So helping them to come to grips with that. And part of the reason I pointed about this is that as we talk about evidential apologetics, there is an inherent weakness in that it leaves the arrogant, snot-nosed kid as the authority in of reality, rather than, and they're going to measure it, and it is pretty common. It has been a very strong way. When we're dealing with a Christian culture, Christendom, and we go out to people that have that basic foundation, one guy called it the furniture in their mind is all set up as Christian. It's just Christ is not there. And so when all Western civilization was essentially Christianized, but Jesus wasn't there in a lot of cases, that works. Because we're just pointing out the consistencies over and over and over and over again. You already got, that's the difference between Peter's message in Acts 2 and Paul's message in Acts 17. Those Greeks had no idea. They didn't have the furniture in their mind to be able to find a place to put this stuff. It was radical. And so Peter started at the beginning and started with God and built up his case. And when they got to the resurrection, and they just scoffed because death was something to be embraced. This life is a hassle, and as soon as we can get out of here, the better off we'll be. So death was a celebration. Who would want to be resurrected again? Who would want to come back into this stuff? And that there's a God that would do it on purpose? It was totally rubbing them around. But some heard and wanted to know more. And those are always the one we're after. The crowd in general is not going to hear, but there's always a few. In the Iranian video talking about, they were looking for a person of peace. They didn't know who it was, but when they found one, they knew. And it said discipleship began at that moment. As soon as we encounter in the market, I recognize that you're somebody that God's working on. Discipleship has just begun. And it may take a week or two before you get saved. But discipleship begins at the moment of the first.
Well, that's where talking to Muslims or Native Americans, in a lot of ways, is easier because they understand sin and redemption. And you just need to show it's through Christ. Right. There's a lot of commonality. You can just stop there as opposed to people that have no concept of sin.
There's a... I think his name was Don, that started a missions kind of movement about 30 or 40 years ago. And they were looking, he went off of the verse that God has planted eternity in their hearts. And so they said, as the mission, when they sent their missionaries in, they would.
Where did he go? Do you remember?
It seems like it's Indonesia, islands, Southwest Pacific. Areas where, but when they sent the missionaries in, they weren't going in just preaching Christ, blazing guns. They would get involved with the people, build up the relationships, but what they were looking for were the keys. Who has the keys? And when they would find it, they would start to water. That kind of same thing that the Iranians called a person of peace. They were just looking for those ones. And they knew it wasn't everybody, but they, when they found one, then they would nurture that garden. God has already put something in there, and they were going to draw it out with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so they didn't waste their time and words and effort and everything, because they were looking to see who. And it was, those were usually the leaders. And I was always amazed when I'd read Paul would go into a new area, and a year later they're appointing church leadership. Now we don't get church leadership for 20 years down the road, if you're good enough, if you've had proper education, if there's a whole bunch of ifs on there. And he was putting them in there in a year. So I'm kind of missing something, I think. But, so anyway, this is Zeitin Brugengate. The video is called How to Answer the Fool. And I got a couple, if anybody wants to take them home and copy the folder down. There's about 14 gigabytes of stuff on there. Take a while to get through, but there's this kind of stuff. The stuff that's impressed me over about the last 10 years.
So, there's a whole, this is an hour and 25 minutes long.
So, it's just one of the drawbacks of evidential apologetics is we love it. It's already consistent generally with what we believe. And so it's just, and here's the thing about evidence. Evidence is never proof. Evidence confirms what we already know. It's not the leading, it's the confirmation. And so when we play evidence, Billboard said evidence, there is evidence for God. What's the presupposition in that?
God exists.
Or there's no evidence for God. And the same thing, the presupposition is there is no God, and we're going to lead you to that point. That's why there's no neutrality. All of these ideas have a destination in mind, and we're going to show you the evidence. That's why sometimes it can be very deceptive.
I'll show a thing on this. I think you actually saw that on play over the last few weeks, the whole impeachment thing. Yes. This group had already determined this. This group had already determined this. They all looked at the same evidence, and it brought them exactly, well, obviously, this is what happened.
Yes. We go to Grand Canyon, and we go, isn't it amazing what millions of years and a little bit of water can do? Or we look at Grand Canyon, it's amazing what a week and a whole lot of water can do. See, it's just what we... This is the true nature of evidence, is that it presupposes faith already. And so the evidence either fits with what we already believe or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, it gets rejected, often unconsciously. Among the masses, I guess, some people are more thoughtful about it. And if the Holy Spirit's been working on them already, then it begins to trigger those questions.
Or that same piece of evidence logically brings you to your preconceived notion already.
Yes, exactly. So this is why evidential apologetics is considered the weakest. But it's the most widely used, and it usually starts and ends right here with the natural man. Because he cannot if we're trying to get him to hear, but we're talking about this stuff, and they can't see it. They just can't see it. And sometimes, over time, people begin to... And there are honest atheists that... we've got a whole collection of stuff here. If you like powerful science against evolution, this guy, David Berlinski, just a brilliant guy. He's the one who said, I like that he said about people are perfectly free to speak rubbish, and we're perfectly free to point out that it is. That's our job. That's where we've been neglecting a whole lot. People are saying stupid stuff. 2 and 2 is 5. We let Johnny get away with it. And we do in church as well. People say really dumb stuff. And yet, that's your opinion, instead of doing some correction. But this guy is really good, and he's very in-depth. This has got some pretty deep science, but he's kind of funny to read. Not a Christian, maybe agnostic. He's Jewish, but he looks at evolution for what it is. And he said, even if evolution's true, we can't even know for 500 years. We just don't have the way. And he says, like looking in the eyes of a baby and trying to determine how much intelligence is actually there. How can we know? What we are knowing, are learning, inside the cell, just in the last 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, 6 months, is so explosive and so radical. I'm going to show a video of a very simplified version of what's going on inside the cell and unwrapping the DNA and all of that kind of stuff. And it's all supposed to have happened by accident. But this is on information. It's no coincidence that the computer information age and the DNA information age were both born at the same time. Francis Crick, one of the Nobel Prize winners for discovering the shape, predicting, and then finding the shape of the DNA, was a code cracker in World War II. And he was the first to suggest, this kind of looks like a code. But he's atheistic. He is, he has abandoned origin of life on Earth for the fact that aliens did it. Because it's impossible. Life could not have begun on Earth. So it had to be put here. Okay. Here is... Dinosaur soft tissue. To about the first eight. When I find stuff on YouTube that is controversial, that is really good, I download it and keep it. I can't not find this video on YouTube anymore. It's not there. There's others, but this particular one is not there. So that's also on the drive.